Good morning.
Morning.
Wow, it's a good day, huh? Try not to get emotional. That was pretty powerful. So we are finishing up our series on unanswered prayers today, and today we're going to take a dive into Paul's thorn, and we're going to look at what happens when we pray for God to remove our pain or our thorn, and God leaves the thorn. So this morning, we're going to hear scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. So I invite you to sit back and hear the word of the Lord. I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know this man was caught up to paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things which cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than they see in me or hear from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should remove me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, with hardship, insults, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord. So I want to tell you a story about a girl from a small town. She loved Jesus, so much so that any time the doors were open to the church, she was there. Whether she was singing or sharing her testimony or serving in some way, she wanted to share how wonderful Jesus was in her life, and she wanted others to know about it. When she went into college, things started to happen that she just couldn't explain. People started to pray for her ministry. Her pastor came up to her one day and asked her, "When are you going to seminary?" She didn't even know what seminary was. And something started to change in her heart. She was in college for one thing, but she was feeling led to do another. She finally accepted that she was meant to be a minister. And then things started happening in a negative way. She was met with animosity and rejection. In the church events that she had been so much a part of, she started being left out of. Unfortunately, she found out why. She was met with things like, "You're going to seminary? Well, not to be a preacher, you're a woman." People even said, "Women do not belong in the pulpit." She was heartbroken. What had caused her or brought her so much joy, she finally knew what she wanted to do. There were so many people that felt that she couldn't. So she began to pray. "God, you got this wrong. This isn't what you really mean for me to do. I have completely misinterpreted this, and so have others. Because there's so many people that don't believe, because I'm a woman, I can do this. So you've got to have this wrong. There's got to be something else for me to do." She perceived this call on her life as her thorn, and she prayed for God to remove it. It had caused her so much pain, and she didn't want to think about the pain that was going to come later down the road. After she prayed for God to remove it, she ran. She ran from the call and made a lot of bad decisions. She entered a marriage that she shouldn't have that ended terribly. She worked a lot of jobs that, though they were good experiences and she made great lifelong friends, she was never fulfilled. And she never felt like she was where she was meant to be. So, would God remove the thorn from her life? Or would it stay painfully lodged in her side? Well, today, we're going to take a deeper dive into Paul's thorn. It's well documented throughout the Bible that Paul had a thorn that caused him great suffering. But we don't actually know what that thorn was. Now, the Greek word used for thorn in this instance can mean several things. It can mean a thorn, or it can mean a splinter, or it can mean as large as a stake. There's been all kinds of speculation as to what this thorn could be, from emotional turmoil, whether it was temptation or sin or grief that he felt because of the hardships that his church was going through and their behavior, to physical ailment of some type, whether he was partially blind, had epilepsy, had migraines, or possibly a speech impediment like I just had, to all kinds of opposition. And we know with Paul that he had lots of that. You could choose from the flogging, to him being arrested and jailed, to lots of people plotting to kill him. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, Paul visits what could be the elephant in the room. Paul's life and ministry was ridden with suffering, heartache, and hardship that he couldn't or wouldn't hide. He even said in Galatians 4:14 that his infirmity, that people saw it, and they didn't reject him. So it's very possible that this was some type of physical ailment that people could see. So why and how? Paul had a thorn that no matter what it was permanent, hard, painful, sufferable, tiring, and frustrating, and aggravating. So why did Paul walk this difficult journey? For a Savior that he had persecuted people for believing in. And how did he continue to share the gospel even though he had this painful thorn? I'm going to be a bit vulnerable. This was a difficult scripture for me to work through. Paul's notion of when I'm weak, I'm strong, I don't do that. I just don't. I'm terrible at it. I've been incredibly influenced by culture. And as an athlete growing up, I can't tell you the times that pain was used for motivation. No pain, no gain. Push through the pain. Don't let them see you cry. But let me set something straight. Something that God showed me clearly as I worked through this teaching. When we believe we are strong and we do everything on our own, it has absolutely everything to do with pride and absolutely nothing to do with God. Paul's claim, for when I am weak, then I am strong, challenges the very core of the normative worldview. However, when we accept this truth, that we are weak, that when we are weak, we are strong, we can then reflect the power of Christ. So what can we learn from Paul? When we, like Paul, pray for God to remove our thorn, whether it's pain or weakness or unresolved suffering, and he says no, or not right now. Well, how do we handle the fact that God is being a tough parent and saying, nope, you're going to have to live with this one? What happens when God leaves a thorn? Let's find out after we worship. Father God, thank you for being a gracious God. And Lord, I pray that you help us believe that your grace is enough for whatever thorn that we have in our lives, Lord, that you are there with us and that your grace can conquer it and that your strength can help us to make it through. Open our hearts and our minds to receive the word that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so let's take a look at what Paul's thorn can teach us about the various thorns in our lives. First of all, Paul admitted that he had a thorn. And I know that seems kind of obvious, but there is scripture that says, take the plank out of your own eye so you can help others with theirs. So I think it's needed to be said that it's important to admit your thorn, because when you admit it, then you start to feel it. And that's usually not what we want to do. So we don't admit that we have it, and we suppress it, believing that it's gone, when in reality, it's seeping through the cracks, through every move that we make. And what can that look like? Well, we lash out at the people we love, or become frustrated easily. We distract ourselves with social media, or we distract ourselves with other people's pain. We lie, or we cheat, or we abuse drugs, or we drink alcohol, or we eat until we make ourselves sick. Or we consume ourselves with busyness so that we don't have time to deal with the pain. There are the damaging things we do, but the most damaging thing we don't do is talk with God. If we don't admit we have pain, we won't talk to God about it. And while this is true, this doesn't stop us from blaming God when things don't go right in our lives. But then we think things like, well, he's God. He should know how I feel. He should know that I don't want to deal with this pain or thorn or suffering or whatever it is. He should know that. And in reality, it doesn't have anything to do with God, what God is doing. It has to do with what we're doing to ourselves. We walk around with a chip on our shoulder, pretending that we don't have this pain, even though we do. And then we need somebody to blame, and it can't be us, right? So it's got to be God. It's got to be God's fault. There's no way that it could be that the pain we don't want to admit we have is only causing more pain in our lives. And then we turn into this. Oh, I'm fine. I am just fine. Don't you worry about me. It makes me think of the Snickers commercial. You're just not yourself when you're hungry. This is how we are, and we don't deal with things. We want to pretend that we're fine, but we're not, and people can see that. When we don't acknowledge we have pain and we don't talk to God about that pain, it only stews, it intensifies, and it turns into other emotions, whether anger or resentment or shame or guilt. Paul talked to God. After Paul came to the reality that he had this thorn, he pleaded with the Lord to take it. But God did not grant Paul's request. So what did Paul do? He surrendered. He surrendered to God's will. Once Paul realized God wasn't going to remove the thorn, he accepted God's answer and surrendered to God's will. Maybe admitting you have pain isn't your problem. Maybe even talking with God about that pain isn't your problem either. You talk to God all the time. Perhaps your problem is accepting and believing and surrendering to God's will that he's not going to remove that pain. Maybe you're hanging on to the pain, blaming God for not removing it. Or you're using pain as a crutch for all your choices. Or you're not making a choice when in reality, you're still making a choice by not making one. You're spinning in circles on a hamster wheel, staying in the same place because you're angry, because you think God didn't hear you, God's ignoring you, or worse, God doesn't care enough about you to remove the pain or the thorn. Let me make this part clear. God hears you, God isn't ignoring you, and God does care about you. And I want you to say this with me, and I want you to even point to yourself so you know who you're talking about. God hears me, God isn't ignoring me, and God does care about me. You can walk through it, because while you may not be able to walk, God will provide someone or something to help you move. You may not want to wake up in the morning because you hate your job, you're lonely, you're battling some physical ailment that you don't want to deal with. But you can, because God will provide you the energy to do so. God's power is made perfect in weakness. Think about that for just a second. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. If you are stubborn and you think all the time that you're strong, remember this slide? If this is your mentality, that you're strong all the time, that you got this, if you're never weak, how can God be strong for you? And God knows, by the way. He knows if you're being prideful or selfish, just like he knew Paul could become conceited. And because Paul was apt to become conceited, God allowed Satan to place a thorn in his flesh. We know this story. We've heard this before, right? In the Old Testament, God allowed Satan to harass Job. And in 1 Thessalonians, Paul wanted to visit but couldn't because Satan hindered him from it. Well, that's a tough pill to swallow. Not only did God turn down Paul's request to remove the thorn, but it turns out God allowed the thorn to be placed there to begin with. That's a horse pill to swallow. This is why it's so important to surrender. When we surrender, we find freedom in God's no, and we begin to trust him. We have to trust that this circumstance, this pain, whatever it is, will serve his purpose. Why does God allow Satan to bring us pain sometimes? To serve his purpose. What is that purpose? Well, we don't always know. Most of the time we don't. But in this case, it was to remind Paul, it's not about you. And most of the time it's to let us know, hey, it's not about you. Life is about bringing glory to God. In Romans 8:28, he tells us that for those who love God, all things, what things? All things will work together for good. This truth is hard, though. Because of our humanity, we want to be in control. We're selfish and we're prideful and we want to stay strong. But when we admit we have pain and we talk to God about that pain and we surrender to God's will, whatever that may be, whether it's a yes, no, or not right now, we will discover that trust will bring on a desire for us to believe in God's promises and to a desire to obey God. When we surrender to God's will, we accept God's no or not right now, and our surrender goes from this white flag mentality of ceasefire to I'm free, God's got this. We change our stature from this, don't you? Right? I give up. God, no more. I can't take it. To what have you got that I can accept? I can't accept much like this, right? You could throw something at me, I wouldn't catch it. But this way, this stature of surrender, I can accept what God has to offer. And what is it that God is offering us? My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. His grace is sufficient. His power is perfect. We don't have to do anything. We remember through our baptism that we accepted God's grace that was freely given to us. And as soon as we surrender, before we even get the words out of our mouth or our hands turned up, it's there. His grace and power is there waiting for us again and again. Now you'll have to let me indulge me for just a minute here. My seminarian geekness is going to come out, but I have to share this with you. So the expression that Paul uses here, but he said to me, the tense of that means that it's continually applicable. The phrase is sufficient, that tense means it's that God's grace is continually available. So God says, no, I'm not going to remove that thorn or that pain or that disability or that grief or that stress or that person. But guess what? God promises, my grace is continually sufficient. My power is continually made perfect in blank. In other words, because of who God is and what God has done, and what he does, you can handle it. And when you believe in God's promises and begin to obey him, you want to boast. Not in your abilities or your stature, but in God's ability in your weakness. Now, boasting in our weaknesses is not something we're normally good at, is it? We're actually terrible at it. But I think we could take a good lesson from Michael Scott from The Office. David Wallace handles this gracefully, doesn't he? As a sidebar, don't answer this way. This is not a good answer. I work in human resources. No. Just say no. Don't do it. This is not a good answer for weaknesses or strengths, okay? I digress. Sorry. This is not the kind of boasting, though, that Paul was talking about. And I'm sure, though, that Paul brought it up because the Corinthians had this mindset of, I'm holier than thou, I'm powerful, I'm authoritative, I can do this. And that is not how God reflects through us. Paul needed to show them something different. Paul was broken in body. He was slow of speech. He was poor in pocket. And his weakness approach was made in accordance with the way of Christ in the cross. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, Paul says, "For he, Jesus, was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God." In Paul's weaknesses, he portrayed grace and glory of God. And that's exactly what he's telling us to do today. The thorn he had, there was a purpose. The purpose was to keep Paul humble and dependent on Christ. And it worked. He delighted in it. Do you delight in your thorns? Do you allow your thorns, your pain, your weaknesses, your blank to bring glory to God? Do you boast about those thorns and how God is strong in your weaknesses? You should. Paul's telling us very clearly here in this scripture that our battles, our weakness, our thorns are essential to discipleship. Later in chapter 12, Paul says, "If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it." How can we be stewards of God if we appear to be strong, have no problems, and we've got it all together? How can we share the truth about who God is if we can't be honest about our thorns and who God has been for us through those circumstances? I read a book a couple of years ago by Barbara Brown Taylor called Learning to Walk in the Dark. If you haven't heard of Barbara Brown Taylor, she's a phenomenal author and pastor. I suggest you look into her. She's wonderful. In this story, the book was more about how the dark is our fear, but it can really apply to the pain in our lives. So I want to share with you an excerpt. We keep thinking that the problem is out there in the things that scare us. Dark nights, dark thoughts, dark guests, dark emotions. If we could just defend ourselves against those things, we think, then surely we would feel more solid and secure. But of course, we are wrong about that, as experience proves again and again. The real problem has far less to do with what is really out there than it does with our resistance to finding out what is really out there. The suffering comes from our reluctance to learn to walk in the dark. In this instance, I think we can say from our reluctance to learn to walk with the pain, the weakness, the suffering, our thorn. We just don't want to think that God's being a tough parent and telling us, no, you're going to have to live with this. This is something I need you to do because I have a greater purpose. I'm sure you realize by now that the story about the small town girl was me. If you haven't, it was. It still is. And thank goodness for that. As you know, hopefully, God gave me a big old nope on removing that call thorn from my life. And the reality of it was, the thorn was not the call on my life. The thorn was the fear and the rejection and the pain I felt from all the resistance, because I was a female pastor. And I know that there are still plenty of people out there that believe women don't belong in the pulpit. And I also know they are wrong. But after 13 years of allowing that pain and fear to control me, after 13 years of ignoring the fact that God was answering my prayer with a no, I finally surrendered to his no. I'm finally living God's purpose for my life. And though I have no idea where it will take me, I do know this. God's grace and strength conquered my fear just enough for me to enroll cautiously in seminary 4 years ago. And then his strength and his grace conquered my fear and pain just a little bit more so that I could come to Revolution and graciously ask Brian if I could maybe have an internship here. Thankfully, he said yes. And I also know that in the future, there's going to be more pain that comes with being a minister, and that I'm going to have more fear. That's just what life is. But I know that God's grace and fear will, strength will conquer those things for me. Once I finally removed my focus from the thorn, I was able to see where God's strength had carried me. Yeah, I made a lot of bad decisions, and I did a lot of stuff for 13 years that God didn't really want me to do, but he still brought all those things together for his purpose. And here I am, with a wonderful family, a wonderful church, and I still see his strength and his power and his grace manifested here in this community, this church, this leadership team, and serving alongside each of you. And I thank God for that every day. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for sometimes being a tough parent and loving us enough that you make the decision to tell us no or not right now so that it serves your purpose, so that we can better reflect who you are, so that others will know who you are and accept the grace and power and love that you have to offer. Thank you, Lord, for being gracious. Thank you for being powerful. And thank you, Lord, that you call us our children and that you continue to walk with us even when we may not listen to where you want us to go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.